Hello and welcome back to another episode of De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football. This is a little midweek edition that we just came up with on the fly. We were like, massive week in Scottish football, things have kind of gone down a path, and we're like, we need to come on and talk about this. So, welcome back to another episode. I am Stefan here with Findlay. Findlay, how you doing, mate?
Not too bad. Like you said, I'm desperate to talk about what happened yesterday. A lot of kind of big stories emerging that could actually change the rest of the season.
It feels like a big moment. I don't want to say a landscape change, but it leaves us with a sense of something good is happening in Scottish football. We have a title race on. We have teams performing really well, teams like Motherwell, teams like Kilmarnock, teams like St Mirren, all doing well. Then you've got Aberdeen and Celtic obviously fighting out for the title, and then you've got a couple of teams that you're like, God, what is the plan for their season? If we look at Hibs and Hearts down at the foot of the table, you look at Rangers and where they're at, you're like, these are teams where if you started before the season and you were like giving your predictions of who's going to finish where, I'm going to be totally honest, my table would have been drastically different to what is currently factually accurate on the William Hill Scottish Premiership table. Finlay, quickly, what's your overall feeling from last night's games in total? Like, was there a specific standout game for you that you were like, you maybe didn't expect?
It has to be the Aberdeen one. I know I came in on Sunday. I predicted Rangers win. I thought they would have too much. I think what surprised me most was actually before the game even started. I don't know. Like Rangers came in and the pyrotechnics were incredible. It was so loud. And the first thing I thought was, see, for a lot of these players who have not been in the Scottish Premiership before, they're going to be absolutely bricking it. Because there's something, there's a very different feeling to kind of, they're playing at night, big red flares, the crowd are going absolutely ham. And I think a lot of players would have just started shrinking. And Aberdeen just looked like how Rangers wish they did. It's just a kind of total reversal of fortunes this season.
It was an incredible atmosphere. Pittodrie this season is absolutely bouncing. Whenever games are there, you've seen it when they played Dundee United last weekend. You've seen it last night against Rangers. Yeah, it feels to me like something special is brewing. You were kind of focusing on that game for us. Talk to me a little bit about when the game started, how it kind of progressed and how it finished. Did Rangers ultimately, did they lay a glove on Aberdeen? They got the goal, obviously, but was there the fight that you would normally expect or the intensity that you would normally expect from a Rangers team? Was that there for you?
Yeah, it was. It was. It came out in the second half. I know obviously in the first half they were completely dominated, but like in the second half they really came out and they looked like, a completely different team. It's just that they just fell away. I don't know what it was. Just a lot of the players just didn't show up. Bayrami scored an incredible goal. Like one of those, very much in the mold of Cerny. It just wasn't enough. And a lot of players that should have performed just looked quiet and looked frustrated. Raskin got himself booked. I don't know. I think they might be in trouble. And I think the gap could get even bigger than 9 points. I'd be worried. I'd be worried at this point.
Okay, I mean, I think a lot of Rangers fans after last night probably getting into the game. I had conversations with people. I seen tweets on Twitter. People were nervous going into this game. Pittodrie, it's not an easy place to go. Aberdeen always seem to be up for it. The crowd are always up for it. It's no picnic to go there. And a lot of Rangers fans, I think, sensed the danger there in that, okay, if the worst case scenario, Aberdeen win, they go 9 points clear. If Celtic beat Dundee, they go 9 points clear. The overall objective for the season for at Rangers is to win as much as you can. it's November. It feels like the title race that is absolutely running its course doesn't involve Rangers. What's Rangers' goal for the rest of the season? Because are they in danger on Sunday of potentially not only basically having a chance at the Scottish Cup, and you know that doesn't start till January. What do you think?
I mean, as kind of embarrassing as it is, it's going to be the League Cup, isn't it? You know, to go trophyless would be awful. I think that's already, we're in sackable offence territory. I just think a trophyless season would be, it would say more about the board than it would about Clermont at that point. I don't know what you think, if they're even going to get past Motherwell in the semi-final.
It's one of them, right? I think Philippe Clermont is a guy that's on a shaky peg because this season has not gone the way in which he would have wanted it to go. It's not gone the way in which Rangers fans would have expected it to go. Rangers fans and Rangers as a club, they come with a big tradition of they expect to win trophies or they expect to win the majority of their games. So far, they've drawn away to Hearts, they've lost away to Celtic, they've lost away to Kelly, they've lost away to Aberdeen. It's a season that is, in the best possible way that I could phrase this, the wheels have fallen off, and I think it leaves Philippe Clermont in a precarious situation. But do I think they'll sack him? I don't think they can afford to sack him. And again, that's another thing that people I've been speaking to of a Rangers mind are saying. They're like, yeah, he should be sacked, but they don't think the board, they don't think the club could afford to pay that fee of saying, okay, well, you know, your time's done, good luck in your future endeavours, bring in the next guy. Is that something they can afford to do? Their finances kind of point to that. No, it doesn't look like it is something they can do. But I think what will be interesting is what happens on Sunday, because you're either going to get a Rangers that are going to come out back against the wall, wounded animal, and they're going to come right at Motherwell, or, and this is a big or, they're going to take the defeat from Aberdeen last night and they're going to let that sit there and fester, and that's going to play into the game on Sunday. If you're a Motherwell fan and you're of that persuasion, you're a Motherwell player, you're thinking, we're up for this. We can take them out. We've got a chance to go to a final here. If I'm a Motherwell fan, my tail is up. I'm wanting it.
Well, yeah, look, I want to dig more into this Clermont thing. I've been thinking about it the last, you know, last few weeks, ever since results have kind of gotten worse and worse. Is this a Philippe Clermont problem or is this a board problem? Because I don't know the ins and outs of who Clermont asked for, if he approved the signings that he has, because it's not like they've been free transfers. Some of these signings have cost a fair bit of money. They've just not delivered. Is it now that he just can't get the best out of them? I don't know what you think. I don't know if, first of all, like you mentioned, can they actually afford to sack him? But would someone else kind of get anything out of these players? Like, I don't know, when you're watching them, what do you think about them?
It's a hard one, because when you're watching the game, when I'm ever watching any game of football, I'm looking at what's the style, what's the plan, what are we trying to achieve here? And whenever I watch Rangers, it depends on the opposition that they're playing, because if they're against an opposition that's going to come out and get at them, to a degree they can play through that. However, when you're a team like a Kilmarnock or like a Motherwell that's going to sit in with 10 men behind the ball, it's one of them. It's like Rangers struggle to break that down. I don't think there's any clear and obvious sign of what sort of footprint Philippe Clermont's trying to sort of impose on Rangers. It's a hard one, but I think one thing that's categorically and, you know, unequivocally clear is he is not getting a tune out of these players. He seems to have the ability or lack thereof to man-manage. Rangers lost someone in Todd Cantwell in the summer that there was, realistically, he was a key player for Rangers. He was a character. He was always there for the fight, but Philippe Clement did not seem to rate him. Then you had the whole debacle with Yanis Hadji and the contract situation there. Granted, I don't think that was Philippe Clement's issue in full. I think that was more of a maybe the board were saying, well, listen, this guy's on this amount of money, let's try and clear that out. It didn't happen. Yanis Hadji's now back in the team. But for me, Philippe Clement, he does not seem like the... I don't know, he doesn't seem as if he's got man management to a T. And I think in this game and in this particular era of football, I think you have to be a man manager. You have to be able to manage the team in terms of tactically. But I think you also, in an aspect of like morale, you have to be able to manage that. And a couple of weeks ago, we heard on a radio phone-in that a lot of players in the Rangers dressing room believe that they can outlast a manager. That tells me there's significant issues with...
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, there's significant issues within the club as a whole. Now, you could say, is that down to the players themselves? Is that down to Philippe Clement? I don't know, but that's that kind of attitude and mentality for a team-based game. That's a disease.
No, you're right. You're right. I think there is something to be said about the man management. I think, you know, how different things were when Rangers won the League Cup. You know, it seemed like Philippe Clement was this, you know, elder statesman, kind of knew exactly what he was doing, had this confidence, had the same attitude that Tallien has now, which is, you know, let's take things game by game. We'll get to Celtic, but one step at a time. And, you know, now... it's a totally different story. It's at the game's end. He's first thing he does is turn to the referees and the officials to berate them. They were way off it. They had nothing to do with the officials. They were way off it. And I think, you know, it's starting to look like desperate measures, and the club's in a weird place where it's like, we can't sack him, but we're not doing well. And he probably knows that, you know, he's not stupid. He probably knows exactly what's going on.
I think you're spot on there. You use the word desperate measure, or you use the phrase desperate measures. I think the key thing for me there that I take away from that is it is desperate. You seen Philippe come on after the game last night, go towards the officials, and, you know, I'm not the best lip reader in the world. I don't know what he's saying, but to me, it's like you're complaining at the referee. There was a couple of instances within the game where the referee had a tough choice to make. You know, was Cyril Dessers offside in that chance that Ross McCausland eventually put in the back of the net? Should Leon Balogun have been sent off? Should a penalty have been awarded against Rangers when John Souter looked to have handled the ball? Philippe Clement seems to be questioning all those decisions, which, don't get me wrong, you can understand to a degree, but then you hear his press conference and he said, you know, it's one of the better performances that he's seen from Rangers.
I don't know where he got that from. I seriously don't know what he was thinking, but that's what I find worse about that, is just to just not, I don't know, it's just it's so obvious that that's not the problem. Like, no. It's so obvious that Tavernier, you know, what was he, highest scoring defender in British football? That's still, you know, it's such an impressive achievement. He looks nothing like that player anymore.
Can I just
player from the Europa League run.
Can I point your attention to last night, right? For anyone that watched the game or seen the highlights. Tavernier, right, when Aberdeen are breaking for that second goal and the ball comes in and Tavernier sticks his leg out. It's a lazy leg, right? He makes minimal contact with the ball that knocks it in. But Nicky Devlin's path. The ball then rolls across the line, gets knocked out. Shaden Morris then slams it home. If you go back and watch this, and I don't know if you've noticed it, Tavernier stands still. He's standing still for 4 or 5 seconds. And then you see his hands go up, the head goes down. That's a Rangers captain. That's their Hall of Fame captain, and that was his reaction to him causing a goal. It was his fault that Rangers lost the goal there, because all he had to do, instead of that lazy leg, try and get his foot around it and just knock it out of the park. It just felt absolutely lazy. And I think you could see in James Tavernier's body language during the game and then after the game, he seems like a man that just doesn't want to be there.
Well, would you want to be there after, you know, you're consistently top scorer, you know, but every time you're getting pelters from your own fans, from, you know, if you're Liverpool fans, I'm going to kind of go on a tangent here. Liverpool fans would kind of give their life for Trent Alexander-Arnold. Quality player, attacking right back, leaves a lot of space behind him, but, you know, that's the risk you take with an attacking fullback. I just have this feeling that Rangers fans don't give Tavernier that same support. And I don't think he's ever, you know, felt the love that he, you know, might feel is due for the records he's broken.
It certainly is a low point, right? Because if you look at what Tavernier has done for Rangers in terms of the goals he scored, he's been a consistent player for Rangers. But I think, do you know that phrase, you'll never appreciate what you've got until it's gone? That's kind of where I feel like Rangers and James Tavernier are at. You know, in his time at Rangers, should he have won a lot more trophies? Yes. As a Rangers captain now, is, you know, you think of guys like Barry Ferguson, you know, captains that have won a lot of stuff for Rangers. But for me, James Tavernier, he's been there for almost 10 years. Yes, he's played a part in Rangers' revival from, you know, the lower leagues to the Premiership through European football, on the run to the Europa League final in 2022, winning the league in 2021. You know, he's been a part of some pivotal moments. Is there respect due on his name from a Rangers fan's perspective? Yeah, absolutely. But I think his performances this season leave a lot for some Rangers fans to desire, and probably, I don't know, it just felt like, for me, that you've seen his body language last night. If I'm a Rangers fan, I'm thinking, for a captain, you're not showing the qualities there.
And I think, you know, not just Rangers fans, but I think Motherwell fans will have been watching, you know, catching up on the highlights and going, I think we can do some damage, because this back four is looking shakier every week. And if there's any time to kind of book your place in the Scottish League Cup final, it's this weekend for Motherwell.
I think that's a really good point you make there, Finlay, because if you look at Motherwell, right, I think in terms of how Motherwell go around their business in terms of set pieces, they seem to be the set piece kings this season. They've scored the most amount of goals from set pieces this season in the league. And if you're looking at that, you're saying, okay, how can we get at Rangers, and where are their weak points and where are our strong points? You're going to see set pieces as a potential place that Motherwell can hurt Rangers, because the defenders for Rangers, Robin Proper hasn't lived up to the hype since arriving from 20. You've going to get I'm going to call it a really unsettled back line of Suter and Balogun. I just think there's chances for Motherwell there. I'm really looking forward to Sunday. Like, it's going to be an incredible game. Motherwell have Lennon Miller, who has quality in abundance. If you're even a Celtic, you're thinking, can we maybe tie him up in January and bring him into the fold, loan him back? Then if you're a Motherwell fan, you're thinking, how long are we going to hold on to Lennon Miller for? Because there's clubs down south, there's clubs in Italy that are looking at him and saying, we want to pick him up. I think this will be a big moment for Motherwell on Sunday, and I think it'll be a big game for Lennon Miller. It could be the opportunity for Lennon Miller to ultimately show how good a lot of people in Scottish football think he is. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
No, I'm a massive fan. I think there's a fear, though, he's just 18, he's not even played for Scotland yet, that people get carried away. But if we take the Celtic game, you know, hitting the post twice, just looked, you know, much more mature than his age suggests. I mean, he was captain, wasn't he? Like last night, is a top player. I want to talk about this kind of this transfer thing, because I don't know if you just mentioned Celtic. Where do you see him actually fitting in? Given you've got, you know, Callum McGregor's there, just made a signing in the summer. You've made two actually. You've got Engels, so I don't know where he fits into that. I don't know if Celtic is a viable option. If they're giving him a pitch, you know, like this is where you fit in, I don't think it's that convincing.
I'm not going to lie with you, Finlay. I agree. I think a lot of Celtic fans, and I've seen tweets, Celtic fans are saying, yeah, let's bring him in and then potentially loan him back to Motherwell. Listen, that could be a viable option. I think for Celtic fans and how good Lennon Miller is, he is a player that you would like to try and get in to see how he progresses. Can he be different to what many thought David Turnbull would be for Celtic? For me, where do I see him fitting in? I don't see him fitting in immediately. You've got Callum McGregor, your stalwart. You've got Arne Engels. You've got Paulo Bernardo. You've now got Luke McCowan. You've got the unrelenting Reo Hitati. Celtic have a strong midfield core. Where Lennon Miller fits into that, I don't think he does. I think, for me personally, I think his best route would be finding a club that he is going to get that game time at, where he is going to be able to go and develop as a player. What team that's going to be, I don't know, but I think there's definitely more viable options. And if you look at Celtic's current run of bringing youth players through, well, they've just seen Daniel Kelly leave, Rocco Vatta's left, even someone in Mikey Johnston that had the ample opportunity at Celtic could not find that solid ground where he was in the team consistently and playing a major part. Young players in Celtic just don't seem to work out. And some will say, well, you know, project players won't win your league titles. That's what Lennon Miller would be at Celtic. It would be seen as a project.
Yeah, no, I totally, and I agree, which is why I bring it up. And I know you mentioned a place where he can get game time. I'm wondering if we're being disrespectful to Motherwell here, because where he can get game time is by staying there. You know, if he continues to play the way he does, builds, just even finishes a full season, gets another one under his belt, I don't really understand why he would move just now. Like, definitely there's no point, I think it's, you correct me if you disagree, there's no point in moving in January, you know.
No, I don't disagree with that.
Stay. I mean, if you're not staying at Motherwell, I would. If I'm a young Scottish player and I'm looking at kind of recent cases, I'm not moving to England. Absolutely no chance am I moving to sit to play for the under 23s in England, and no chance am I going to go and just play under 3-4 managers a season in the Championship. I don't think that's good for anyone.
So, no, I think. I get that.
What are the options for him?
I think for me, like, if you're Lennon Miller, I think the best opportunity is stay at Motherwell. It is get another season under your belt. You know, who knows where Motherwell can finish this season? Could they potentially go into Europe? Right now, they're gunning for third place. They're 3 points behind Rangers. They are gunning for a top six finish this season. If that happens and they do finish in the European places, you're Lennon Miller, you're saying, okay, well, do you know what? I could go down to the Championship, or I could go to a club in Serie A, or I could stay at Motherwell and get a little bit of European experience, and I could, you know, we might not go that far in Europe, but again, I can just notch another bit of experience onto my belt, and then whatever comes the following season ultimately can come. Like, the future very much is his oyster, and he has, you know, he's got the world that is... Well, I was going to say his fingertips, but for football's sake, he's got the world at his feet. So I think the smart move is stick with Motherwell, because Motherwell are a well-run club.
They've done well to get him where he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe, I mean, and you never know what his loyalties are. He might want to stay for a bit. But what I am going to throw out, and this might be a little bit controversial, but wouldn't Rangers want to get a player like that?
I think they would.
I mean, yeah, I know they might be skint, but if you've got, you know, the money to bring, well, how much did they spend this summer? I mean, was it close to 10 million?
They spent quite a lot of money. I mean, they had Bajrani, they had...
They bought Conor Barron. You know, they're saying that they don't have any money for maybe Lennon Miller. They were talking a big game about Shankland in the summer. Thing's looking around 5 million. The midfield is, you know, it's not looking particularly good. Maybe give him a season or see how he gets on in a few months, see how he gets through when the going gets tough, how he responds.
Yeah.
Celtic's strength and depth could be Rangers' opportunity here. That could be their chance to get in.
I get that. And I've seen tweets and, you know, people saying that Lennon Miller was their shout as opposed to Conor Barron. For me, I think Lennon Miller is a... And, you know, this is total neutrality in this one, but I would rather have a player of Lennon Miller's quality in my team than a player of Conor Barron's quality. No disrespect to Conor Barron, but I think Lennon Miller has... he's more versatile and he has... for an 18-year-old, he's got quite a lot in his locker. And, you know, there's always room for improvement. But I almost felt on Sunday when Motherwell faced Celtic, for periods in that game, Lennon Miller was standing out. He was, you know, he was unlucky not to have scored two brilliant goals. You know, I'll use a Philip Clement phrase. It was toenails. In terms of if had those goals went in, had those shots went in, you know, you're looking at a completely different game. I guess for me, like midweek, right, has been a mad midweek. Just for anyone that hasn't seen the scorelines, I'm just going to quickly run through the results and then we'll just jump on to our final talking point of the week. Celtic finished the game yesterday against Dundee. It was a bit of a tense affair until half time. Then it kind of picked up and Celtic got the three points. Ended up in a 2-0 victory against Dundee. As we spoke about, Dundee United versus Motherwell ended in a 2-1 victory for the Steelmen. Hearts and Kilmarnock. Derek McInnes' first win at Tynecastle as Kilmarnock manager, I believe, saw Kelly run out as 2-1 winners. Great finishes. And the ball play from Kyle Vassell was unbelievable for that second goal. An absolutely drab, boring Desmond at the Global Energy Stadium in Dingwall as Ross County and Hibernian both sunk to a 0-0 draw. I mean, that's probably the most boring game of football I think you could have sat and watched, Finlay. Aberdeen bet Rangers 2-1, as we already discussed. And let's move on to our last game. It was an absolute VAR fest. It was St Mirren versus St Johnstone. St Mirren eventually ran out 3-1 winners. But a game that could have really gone either way. St Johnstone had the ball in the net three times. And twice, it was ruled out for a VAR call. Finlay, what did you make of that game?
I'm not going to lie, I felt slightly relieved on Stephen Robertson's behalf that it's kind of been a torrid few weeks. And I think, unlike Philip Clement, Robinson's kind of alluded to these problems within the squad. I think there's a feeling that a few players are going to be on their way out in January. I think there's maybe some problems, not necessarily, you know, in that dressing room, but something's going on that he feels he needs to make a few changes. But for now, results like these make the world of difference, especially for fans, because St. Johnstone are not the same team that they were last season. Their front two are maybe the revelation of the season, bar Aberdeen. So, you know, Kimpioka and Sidibe are lethal. And to be able to contain them, you know, that obviously the VARs included, but to be able to keep them at one goal and get three themselves, I think that was an impressive result for them. I don't know what you think.
It was certainly an impressive result for St Mirren. Sidibe and, as you mentioned, Kimpioka are players that, and even Nicky Clark into that, are players that will cause any backline a little bit of a problem. We seen that last night. Kimpioka was just, he was up for it. It was a game he seemed desperate to try and really hit a mark in and lay a marker down ultimately. But then equally, you could say the same for St Mirren's Olesunya, because if you look at his performance on Sunday at Ibrox, he just did not give the Rangers backline an easy time. And, you know, again, last night, it didn't seem like he was willing to give anyone an easy time of it. It was a weird game. It was a game I wish you watch the highlights and you're thinking, God, I would love to have been at this game, because it just seemed like it was end to end. St Johnstone were unlucky in getting the ball in the back of the net and for them not to count. And I think in years gone by, when VAR wasn't a thing, there wouldn't have been a problem with those goals, but I guess that's what VAR is here for. It was just a really, it was a strong performance from both teams. And I think if you're Stephen Robinson, you're walking out of that and you're like, thank God we got out of there, because it didn't look like the result of 3-1 for St Mirren didn't look like that was going to be the result. And St Johnstone finished the game with roughly about nearly 70% possession. They had almost 500 accurate passes. And, you know, if you look at how many shots they had in their shots on target, it was minimal. It was 5 shots, 2 on target. Whereas St Mirren, they managed 17 total shots, 5 shots on target, but they were under the cosh. They only made 62% of their passes in that game were accurate. And you look at that and you're like, coming out with the result that they got is a big, big boost going into their next fixture, which I believe is against Ross County. So yeah, if you're Stephen Robinson, you've signed a new contract. It seems that any manager that signed a new contract, their job's been on a shaky peg. Stephen Naismith, gone.
Yeah.
Philip Clement, well, his peg's shiggling away, and it's almost off the wall at this point. But Stephen Robinson will be saying, okay, well, you know, we got the 3 points last night. That's a good sign. That's taken us up to almost 6th. They're behind Kilmarnock by 1 point, and they're away from the danger zone by about 5 points. So they're in a good place. Just a weird game of football. God, I wish I'd seen it.
Strange, but a good sign for St Mirren, but also St Johnstone. I think, you know, you're not going to win every game. You're away from home. I think they can be quite happy with the way things are going so far. I don't want to disparage Craig Levein, because let's be honest, he was brought in to keep them up. He did his job.
Yeah,
I think they made a mistake in keeping him on longer than that. But that's, you know, I think you can't win. You know, it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If they got rid of him before the season had started, people would have said, oh, but he brought us up. You know, mm-hmm. We were doing well. And, you know, now it's, oh, he stayed too long. I think they did well to get rid of him when they did. I don't think it was working. And I think they might have nailed it with this appointment, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think this appointment could, time will tell ultimately, but the key thing, when, as I say, no respect, or as you say, no disrespect to Craig Levein, he did his job, but I think getting rid early was key, and then getting the new man in, who, again, you were talking Stephen Robinson will be, you know, breathing a sigh of relief to come out of that game. The new St Johnstone manager, Tetsimo Valakari, he's going to come out of that game thinking, what we could have won. Because ultimately, had St Johnstone won that game, you couldn't have turned around and said, well, do you know what, they don't deserve it, because they absolutely did. But they were just unfortunate in the terms of, the goals that they did score or didn't score were obviously disallowed. So, yeah. Any other big talking points for you from that game?
I just think the front two, like I said, they impressed me. I think on St Mirren's part, that team, you know, you mentioned the 62%.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, a lot of that comes down to the style. You know, I've got, you know, a lot of time for Stephen Robinson. I don't think ball progression up the park, you know, a slow build-up is his style. Mm-hmm. I think that frenetic end-to-end is what St Mirren are about, and they kind of thrive in this chaos. But even though that's the style, I feel like watching it last night, the players are connecting more and more as the, you know, as the weeks go by, the chemistry's building. And I think they're turning into that unit that they were last year. They've not looked like themselves so far. And that was a tough test. And I think they did really well.
So this weekend, we're looking ahead to the Scottish League Cup semi-finals at Hampden Park. We have Aberdeen taking on Celtic and we have Motherwell taking on Rangers. Finally, let's just take a look at the weekend's fixtures and give a quick prediction. Celtic, Aberdeen, who are you saying and why are you saying it?
I am going to have to say Celtic. Cup semi-final. Two games in a week, maybe too much for Aberdeen. It's kind of been a lot in a row. Celtic is still, I think, by far the best team in this league. I'd be shocked if they lost this, despite Aberdeen's great form.
Okay,
I don't know. Do you disagree? I'm kind of not giving Aberdeen a chance, despite the fact that they've won 50 games in a row.
I'm unsure. I said, if you're of a Celtic fan's persuasion, last night's result, the perfect result was a draw, because Aberdeen, off the back of that comeback at Celtic Park 12 days ago, the result last night, they're riding an incredible high. Coming into this fixture now, your tails have to be up. You've got to be in the best possible position that you could be in going into a semi-final against Celtic at Hampden. Granted, Celtic under Brendan Rodgers at Hampden are undefeated, but we look back to that game in April, it ended 3-3 and it went to a penalty shootout. Like, this game has goals in it. Aberdeen have goals in them. Jimmy Tillian has a knack of intelligent substitutions. For the neutral, this game is going to be box office. I think Aberdeen might have it.
Really?
I think they might have it.
Okay. Well, one of us is going to be wrong.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I can't wait to be able to bring it up at the weekend.
Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. Talking of Sunday, Rangers, Motherwell, Hampden Park, how are you seeing this one go?
This, if Rangers don't win this, either Clement has to resign or Rangers have to find some money at the back of the sofa. Because, you know, to not get Aberdeen or Celtic in a semi-final, you know, you couldn't have picked a better draw. I mean, it's Motherwell are playing well. We've just kind of talked about how well they're doing. Lennon Miller. Rangers are a much bigger club and Rangers fans should expect a result here. And to not get that would be, I would say, a failure. I think that's it's a sackable offence. Whether or not I think they will, I'm going to say, yeah, I think they'll get away with one because it's at Hampden. I think Motherwell away would have been a slightly different proposition. I just think more neutral ground should work in their favour. But if it doesn't, then, you know, something will need to change.
Okay. Well, what do you think the result will be?
Let's go. I'm going to go 2-0 Rangers.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, everything you've said there, I can't disagree with it. I think, if you're Motherwell, you're thinking, okay, this is, as I alluded to earlier, this is the best time to play Rangers. They're just off the back of a poor result against Aberdeen in midweek. I reluctantly say poor result, by the way, but, you know, from Rangers fans, they wouldn't want to have lost that game. Not that they would want to have lost any game, but I think Motherwell will see this as an opportunity for the tails to be up and to be like, okay, we smell blood, finish them. This is Philip Clement. His head is on the chopping block. Finish him. That's what I would feel. However, realistically, that happening, I don't know. Motherwell have good players. We spoke about Lennon Miller. you know, they have an abundance of good players in their team. I just think the reaction from Rangers has to be backs to the wall, but it has to be come out fighting. Anything other than that, and you're in dangerous territory. So I'm going to say I think Rangers will win it. I think it'll be 2-1. But again, I think it's going to be, you know, if you're a Celtic or an Aberdeen fan, you're keeping your eye on this match and you're thinking, well, whoever gets to the final is really whoever faces Celtic or Aberdeen, it's an uphill battle for them. So, yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think Celtic or Aberdeen, like you said, will be happy to face either of them, get one of them. Once you're in the final, you're that one step closer. But what I am going to do is add to my prediction. Mm-hmm. I'm getting this kind of, this feeling that if he starts, I think Dessers might score a double.
Okay.
I'm just feeling that he's that kind of player where everyone slags him off. And then all of a sudden he scores two goals and then maybe kind of goes quiet for another 3 weeks, but they're the two most important goals.
So, all right,
you know,
that's bold, because a lot of fans are obviously they're not happy with Cyril Dessers. But listen, that's what this game's all about, isn't it? It's all about predictions. It's all about opinions. That's the thing about football, is it's anyone's game. All right, that wraps us up for our impromptu midweek edition. Listen, loved having you on, Finlay. It's been brilliant. It's been a good conversation. Really enjoyed it. If you have enjoyed it, let us know on Twitter at @DeStefanoTalks. If you have any questions or you wanna see anything different that we can do, you wanna see us add things, take things out, tell us what you like, tell us what you've not liked. Just talk to us. Tell us how you feel. At @DeStefanoTalks on Twitter. If you want to message me directly, it's at Mr. Stefan Carlin. Finlay, you want to plug your Twitter?
Well, yeah, I would like to plug that. I will be setting it up properly in the near future. So if you disagree with anything I say, you'll soon have a place to kind of have a go at me.
I love it. I love that. Setting up a Twitter just so that, you know, you can say controversial things and take heat for it. Love it. All right. I've been Stefan, this has been Finlay. You have been listening to De Stefano Talks on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever the hell you're listening to this podcast. I just want to say thank you for listening to the podcast, and we will see you Monday 4 p.m. Where we're reacting to whether or not we're right or wrong, because that's ultimately what we're going to be. But yeah, we will see you next time.